Definition.
Spinoza's theories that I have attempted to articulate here, the infinite self-creating aspect of nature underlies 1. The unconstrained behavior of particles in quantum mechanics. 2. The very existence of a world that supports intelligence. 3. The emergence of life forms through evolution. Moreover, all these phenomena that emerge from the one substance are interrelated. There is no intelligence without embodiment. There is no increasing complexity of embodiment without evolution. There is no evolution without a unique universe that allows life to emerge. And finally, as both quantum mechanics and the anthropic principle teach us, there is no observed material universe without intelligence in it. The existence of the universe and of intelligence within it are ultimately expressions of the one substance. The attributes of thought and of extension cannot be reduced to one or the other, but both point to the same infinite and eternal being. The same boundless power expressed by the complexity of the human body is also expressed by the powers of the human mind. The same power that is behind the unconstrained behavior of particles in quantum mechanics and expressed by the sheer vastness of the cosmos also underlies the continual development of human knowledge. There cannot be anything more life-affirming than this.
Note 1. As finite existence involves a partial negation, and infinite existence is the absolute affirmation of the given nature, it follows that every substance is necessarily infinite. Note 2. No doubt it will be difficult for those who think about things loosely, and have not been accustomed to know them by their primary causes, to comprehend the demonstration of Proposition 7. For such persons make no distinction between the modifications of substances and the substances themselves, and are ignorant of the manner in which things are produced. Hence they may attribute to substances the beginning which they observe in natural objects. Those who are ignorant of true causes make complete confusion, think that trees might talk just as well as men, that men might be formed from stones as well as from seed, and imagine that any form might be changed into any other. So also, those who confuse the two natures, divine and human, read the attribute human passions to the deity. existence. A body is called finite because we always conceive another greater body. So also a thought is limited by another thought. But a body is not... Three. By substance, I mean that which is in itself and is conceived through itself. In other words, that of which a conception can be formed independently of any other conception. Four. By attribute, I mean that which the intellect perceives as constituting the essence of substance. Mode, I mean the modifications of substance, or that which exists in and is conceived through something other than itself.
If one follows the geometric method, one finds 2D problems in 3D space. In four dimensions, and infinitely so, and so.
Five. By mode, I mean the modifications of substance, or that which exists in and is conceived through something other than itself. 6. By God, I mean a being absolutely infinite. That is, a substance consisting in infinite attributes, of which each expresses eternal and infinite essentiality. Explanation. I say absolutely infinite, not infinite after its kind. For, of a thing infinite only after its kind, infinite attributes may be denied. But that which is absolutely infinite contains in its essence whatever expresses reality and involves no negation. Seven. That thing is called free, which exists solely by the necessity of its own nature, and of which the action is determined by itself alone. On the other hand, that thing is necessary, or rather constrained, which is determined by something external to itself. Eight. By eternity, I mean existence itself, insofar as it is conceived necessarily to follow solely from the definition of that which is eternal. Explanation. Existence of this kind is conceived as an eternal truth, like the essence of a thing, and therefore cannot be explained by means of continuance or time, though continuance may be conceived without a beginning or end.
Follows the geometric method, one finds 2D problems in 3D space. In four dimensions, and infinitely so. and so.
Proposition 3. Things which have nothing in common cannot be one the cause of the other. Proof. If they have nothing in common, it follows that one cannot be apprehended by means of the other, and therefore, one cannot be the cause of the other. Distinguished one from the other, either by the difference of the attributes of the substances, or by the difference of their modifications. Proof. Everything which exists, exists either in itself or in something else. That is, nothing is granted in addition to the understanding, except substance and its modifications. Nothing is, therefore, given besides the understanding, by which several things may be distinguished one from the other, except the substances, or in other words, their attributes. Proposition 5. There cannot exist in the universe two or more substances having the same nature or attribute. If several distinct substances be granted, they must be distinguished one from the other, either by the difference of their attributes, or by the difference of their modifications. If only by the difference of their attributes, it will be granted that there cannot be more than one with an identical attribute. If by the difference of their modifications, as substance is naturally prior to its modifications, and their modifications. Now substance cannot be produced by another substance, therefore it cannot be produced by anything external to itself. This is shown still more readily by the absurdity of the contradictory. Or if substance be produced by the knowledge of its cause, then it would itself not be substance. Thank you. by anything external. It must, therefore, be its own cause. That is, its essence necessarily involves existence, or existence belongs to its nature. Proposition 7. Existence belongs to the nature of substances.
Sudden dislocations, axes of passing, the how of gone, so arrived as received. O bridled sums in cavalcades, the distance between an image and a fact. Sequence of striving, bobbing of sleeping seas, a territory combed, tongue unarticulated. Oh, great dreaming, burst of reward, slipshod momentary, freedom tasseling, evidence of life, new oldenings, the many folds of years which horizon portends, like an honor, like many wandering days ago. Concomitant striving, animals shredding paths, doors unribboned, closing off the frame from the view of the lips, elliptical.
Proposition 7. Existence belongs to the nature of substances. Proof. Substance cannot be produced by anything external. Axioms. 1. Everything which exists, exists either in itself or in something else. Axioms. 1. Two. That which cannot be conceived through anything else must be conceived through itself. Given definite cause, an effect necessarily follows. And on the other hand, if no definite cause be granted, it is impossible that an effect can follow. Four. The knowledge of an effect depends on and involves the knowledge of a cause. Things which have nothing in common cannot be understood, the one by means of the other. The conception of one does not involve the conception of the other. Five. Things which have nothing in common cannot be understood, the one by means of the other. The conception of one does not involve the conception of the other.
That mass and energy are food, are quite different manifestations of the same thing. A somewhat unfamiliar conception for the average mind. Furthermore, the equation E is equal mc squared, in which energy is put equal to mass multiplied with the square of the velocity of light, showed that very small amount of mass may be converted into a very large amount of energy, and vice versa. The mass and energy were in fact equivalent, according to the formula mentioned above. This was demonstrated by Kochra and Walton in 1932 experimentally.
If language is to lead at all to understanding, there must be rules concerning the relation between the science on the one hand, and on the other hand, there must be a stable correspondence between science and impressions. When language becomes thus partially independent from the background of impressions, a greater inner coherence is gained. Only at this further development, where frequent use is made of so-called abstract concepts, language becomes an instrument of reasoning in the true sense of the word. But it is also this development which turns language into a dangerous source of error and deception. What is it that brings about such an intimate connection between language and thinking? Is there no thinking without the use of language? Has not every one of us struggled for words, although the connection between thinking was already clear? What distinguishes the language of science from language as we ordinarily understand the world? How is it that scientific language is international? What science strives for is an utmost preciseness and clarity of concepts as regards their mutual relation and their correspondence to sensory data.
By particular things, I mean things which are finite and have a conditioned existence. But if several individuals concur in one action as to be all simultaneously the effect of one cause, I consider them all so far as one particular thing. Regardless, the long hours lived in infrared light. Whose signature is this? God person to a future self, or they who wave goodbye, leaving this behind forever in this room to move through the impassable, and then is suddenly dissolved, circuit completed its perfection, a breath to form, some steps taken, others merely observed, topographical expansions, sensational drifts of skin, dare in hauling ropes over chasms filled by storms, amorphous edges of indigo canyons. Can you hear the whistler sighing? Grace be upon them from all beyonds. Irreducible constriction, eyes closing.
finite existence involves a partial negation, and infinite existence is the absolute affirmation of the given nature, it follows that every substance is necessarily infinite. Note 2. No doubt it will be difficult for those who think about things loosely, and have not been accustomed to know them by their primary causes, to comprehend the demonstration of Proposition 7. For such persons make no distinction between the modifications of substances and the substances themselves, and are ignorant of the manner in which things are produced. Hence they may attribute to substances the beginning which they observe in natural objects. Those who are ignorant of true causes make complete confusion, think that trees might talk just as well as men, that men might be formed from stones as well as from seed, and imagine that any form might be changed into any other. So also, those who confuse the two natures, divine and human, readily attribute human passions to the deity, especially so long as they do not know how passions originate in the mind. But, if people would consider the nature of substance, they would have no doubt about the truth of Proposition 7. In fact, this proposition would be a universal axiom, and accounted a truism. For, by substance, would be understood that which is in itself, and is conceived through itself.
Жизнь кажется висит на волоске. Что почести, что юность, что свобода. Ведь милый гость с удочкой в руке. И вот вошла, откинув покрывало, внимательно взглянула на меня.
Я и говорю,
ты льда тут диктовала страницы ада. Когда я ночью жду ее прихода, жизнь, кажется, висит на волоске. Что почести, что юность, что свобода.
Пред милой гости с дудочкой в руке.
И вот вошла, откинув покрывало, внимательно взглянула на меня.
Я и говорю,
ты льда диктовала страницы ада.
Отвечаю, я.
Когда я ночью...
Thank you.
помнишь, какая погода была, как в праздник, и я выходила без пальто. Сегодня пришла, и устроили нам какой-то особенный пасмурный день. И дождь, и особенный поздний час, и капли бегут по холодным ветвям, ни словом унять, ни платком утереть. С утра я тебя дожидался вчера, но не догадались, что ты не придешь. Ты помнишь, какая погода была, как в праздник, я выходил без пальто. Сегодня пришла, и устроили нам какой-то особенный пасмурный день. И дождь, и особенный поздний час, и капли бегут по холодным ветвям, ни словом унять, ни платком утереть. superiors, exterior rising, say you and so touch. We are opaque, even under the brightest lights. Thank you.